Amen, saints. Why don't we begin with singing hymn 403, hymn 403. Amen. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Hallelujah. It's good to be back this evening. I think we really felt the Lord spoke to us this morning. So we're back to continue our fellowship. We invited in the Metroplex, the area, we invited two brothers, Brother Rick Scatterday, who is a physician, and Brother Alex Tan, who is a clinical psychologist, to speak to us. A word of encouragement, given the situation we find ourselves regarding our response and our attitude to, you know, the current situation we have in the world today. This morning we emphasize our young people, but today is open to all the saints. Okay, so I want to just mention a few things about our brother. We mentioned this in more detail in the morning, but Brother Rick Scatterday is joining us from Anaheim, where we all know Brother Rick. But he's a physician and has an MD and did his residency in internal medicine, but also has a certification in addiction medicine. Brother Alex Tan, he's joining us from Orange, California. In addition to serving with the young people, he is a clinical psychologist specializing in pediatric neuropsychology. He is currently in Orange and working there in that area. So this session will take the same format as we had this morning. Mainly, there wouldn't be a message per se. We'll be responding to the questions that were submitted by the saints over the past couple of weeks. Two of us brothers will pose the questions, and the brothers will respond to the questions and will receive their fellowship. And that'll be the format we'll take today. So next, what we'll do is we'll have a few brothers who have been designated to pray, and then we'll pass it on to Brother Mauricio for some further direction.
Well, Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you once again.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that these brothers could join us here in the fellow in the Metroplex.
Amen.
Lord, we look that you would anoint them.
Amen.
Lord, you would cause every word to be anointed.
Amen.
Lord, we pray that every question would be answered, Lord.
Amen.
We pray, dear Lord, that your spirit would be prevailing this evening, Lord.
Yeah.
Lord, permeate, Lord, all the saints who are listening tonight.
Amen.
Lord, be with all the children. Be with all the parents. Be with all the working ones, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we just desire your essence, Lord, Amen. To be with us tonight.
Amen.
Lord, we just give this time to you and pray that you bless the churches.
Amen.
Lord, as we receive this word tonight.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen.
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 Lord Jesus, we love
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen.
We do love you, Lord, as your body and as your bride.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, thank you for your care for us.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Thank you for your deep concern for your people.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, we just worship you as our shepherd.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your speaking this morning to all of us.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, thank you for another session with one another and these brothers.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for you're the one who sets members in the body.
Hallelujah.
Oh, that pleases you.
Yeah.
Amen. Lord, that you're speaking through our brothers.
Amen.
Oh, we look to you for the anointing of all their speaking.
Amen.
Lord, meet the needs of in your body here tonight.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, our desire is to be perfected.
Amen.
To be completed.
Amen.
Oh, to be full grown in you.
Yes,
amen.
Oh, that all the frustrations would be exposed.
Amen.
Oh, and you could use everything for your
amen.
Pleasure.
Amen.
Give us your view, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, we want to see things as you see.
Yes.
Amen.
Oh, we want to function according to what we see.
Right,
amen.
Lord.
Oh,
and building up the body and caring for one another genuinely.
Amen.
Until we all arrive, oh Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord, do a perfect word tonight.
Amen.
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 Hey, main saints, just to underscore before we give way to start the question and answer, just to underscore a couple of things. The meeting tonight may be in a different format than what we're used to, but I'm so glad it's not a different focus from God's economy. We're still here under the divine dispensing, speaking the up-to-date ministry, and just taking care of some practical applications and needs that the saints are facing today. I wanted to clarify a couple of things so that we are all at peace. We gave some time ahead of this meetings for the saints to submit some questions. Lots of questions came in. Not all the questions will be able to be answered.
Really?
And that is just because of time limitations. However, saints, if you were one of those that submitted a question, this is not something we brothers want you to know. This is not something you should bear on your own, nor is something that you should keep to yourself. We hope that after the fellowship tonight, if your question still remains, you would be proactive to bring the matter to the leading ones or another brother who you may have a relationship with. And if it needs to be a brother who may have some medical expertise, that you find a way to fellowship so that you're not bearing this burden on your own.
Amen.
The other thing I wanted to mention is because of what our experience was this morning, we will plan on taking the full 2 hours and go to 9:30 tonight for those who can. We know that we announced the time would be a little shorter, so maybe your arrangements are different. So if you have to cut out at a certain point in time, because of your time limitation, be at peace. But just to give ample time to the brothers to respond to the questions submitted, Just know that we will plan to go to 9:30 tonight. Finally, Saints, some have asked if this time will be made available, after the time ends. And the answer to that is we're still fellowshipping how. The time is being recorded. It's being recorded in three languages, but we don't have the specifics as to how it would be made available or when it would be made available to all the Saints. So we will communicate that once we've had a chance to fellowship further on that matter.
Mauricio, you alluded to it. We should mention also, for those who need the language, click on the interpretation for Spanish and Chinese.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Okay. So let's, how about we start with question one, the first question. It says, when should we shepherd the saints to open to the Lord as their healer? And when should we recommend seeking professional help for mental health issues? How do we draw the distinction between death and needing a supply of life versus clinical depression or anxiety? And Brother Rick, maybe we can start with you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mauricio. What a good question. And dear Saints, would like to express on behalf of Alex, I believe he'll probably say so himself, but seeing your faces and your names on the screen fills us with joy. It's so good to see you. We're very happy to see you and to have this opportunity to be with you today and to continue from this morning. So our focus, as you know, is a little less on the young people and more on the saints' situation in general. And dear saints, the brother's invitation to us is somewhat, I guess we could say, related to a superimposition or two superimposed factors or situations that we all face in the Lord's recovery. The first of them is that we in the Lord's recovery suffer from the same malady that our entire American society suffers from, and many societies over the earth suffer from, that the question of mental health concerns or mental health problems is something that is, we use the word stigmatized, associated with some kind of personal character fiber, moral or ethical shortage, as if a person decides to have this kind of a problem. And so many times one who has a psychological problem in society may sense and register from others that they emanate a kind of judgmental feeling toward them, that they feel they're less than they otherwise would be if they didn't have that psychological difficulty. This, of course, causes great, great suffering to the persons who have mental health difficulties and their loved ones, and really to all of us. In the church life, although we are being renewed in our perception, our concept, our mind, we suffer from this as well. And in addition, we have our own complicating aspect, and that is that we add to this the fact that if you continue to have psychological difficulties, you must be failing spiritually, because if you were performing and enjoying and actually genuine spiritually, it would resolve and stabilize and deal with your mental health concern. So these two things together result in a very unfortunate, I said malady earlier, a very unfortunate malady in the Lord's recovery, that we do not respond well to those who have psychological difficulties. And in the present societal situation, those who have psychological difficulties have been and will be increasing in proportion. As we have more and more coming to us through the community and campus gospel and our general gospel work, we will have more and more of these situations. And so this matter is a big one, is a pressing concern to us, and has had increasing attention and prayer over the last few years in the Lord's recovery, very beneficially and prompted related to some serious situations that have occurred among us. This is one factor. Superimposed upon this is an international pandemic, the likes of which have not been seen for a century. And sociologically speaking, that makes it a very serious and trying juncture. The isolation, the sheltering, the limitations, the modifications, life adjustments, and the suffering and death caused by the pandemic act to superimpose on the first concern, that of mental health attitudes and responses in Lord's recovery, to cause the brothers, and how we appreciate the brothers in the Dallas-Fort Worth churches, being concerned about the saints, and thus the invitation. So this question brings this right to the forefront. But before touching on the question, if I could, I'd like to mention a little bit of something of what we feel we're seeking to convey today, in addition to new definitions of psychological problems, some important statistics, some things to do and some things to avoid. Apart from this, we believe that on the Lord's heart, there are crucial and major matters involved here. So, thinking how to illustrate this to you, the term magnanimity comes to mind. Magnanimous. Are you familiar with this term? Well, the term has more than one definition, but we consider it to be a very positive descriptor, a very positive adjective of a person. I mean, we'd all like to have someone describe us as being magnanimous, philanthropic, generous, caring. But the particular definition that the ministry has focused on related to this word is that magnanimous refers to one's ability to brace oneself, draw together, muster strength, and pass through and meet a challenge seemingly without difficulty. So we have the pandemic. And our advice, our fellowship today, are we seeking to work out a new magnanimity among us? That we could be persons who would learn to be, quote unquote, survivors. Man, we look back on the pandemic. I was able to handle it. I knew how to cope. I could rise up and clear the hurdle. Dear brothers and sisters, we'd like to make the point at the very beginning that we don't believe this is not what we're doing here tonight. Not trying to help to furnish you and give you practical fellowship so that you can, looking back on this pandemic, say, wasn't so bad for me, I did okay. No. Actually, dear brothers and sisters, this juncture in the hand of our sovereign God, we have to consider is his lovely embodiment and his coming to us to help us in ways that he otherwise would not be able to help us. To cause us to know him personally and relationship-wise, in a more comprehensive, more embracing, deeper, and less chaotic, sporadic, and hit-and-miss kind of way. Yes, Philippians 1:21, he would like us to live him. He would like us to live with him. And who on the earth can do this? Who on the earth has a thought that this is a consideration or knows what that is? Well, we're no one. One saint one time said, we're a ragtag kind of group. None of us are special. None of us are anything. But if the Lord's going to have a group of people on the earth who actually reach the summit of what he intends, reach the depths of what's on his heart, he has us. This isn't to sound proud. This isn't to set us apart from others. But the fact is, we have this desire. And we pump, we live for this. Now, the pandemic is to work this out in us. And the pandemic's limitations is to work this out in us. And the way to deal with the mental health complications and difficulties and sufferings caused by the pandemic is in large measure, and somewhat related to the answer to this question, dependent on the degree to which we lay hold of this and realize what's going on. We're not passing through fire as iron to be melded into steel and be strong. Of course, there is that metaphor in 1 Peter chapter 1. But it's not just that. It's to bring us into full merger, full experiential merger, full desired experiential merger with the Lord in our loving, appreciative pursuit of full union and mingling with him in the various, varied, and continuum of experiences in our daily living. In the life study of Revelation, Brother Lee commented on the complex rendering in Revelation chapters 6-8. Says something I'd like to apply here. The fifth seal, after the first four seals of the four horses, the leading one of which is the gospel, the white horse, the fifth seal is the prayer of the martyred saint, saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And we know that cry, that prayer has been going on for a long, long time. This is the fifth seal. Then there's some insertions at the beginning of, including part of chapter 6 and chapter 7. And then there's the scene on the throne in the heavens at the time of the opening of the seventh seal. I didn't want to get into make this complicated. Basically what our brother said is that in response to the prayer of the martyred saints, we have the view of in the heavens of the angel of Jehovah standing before the throne at the incense altar, the holiest of all. And you're familiar with the passage in Revelation chapter 8. Eventually, there are prayers of the saints, which are golden bowls. And then eventually, he is able to add himself as incense to these bowls. And then the incense rises. And then there's a reaction in the heavens. And then the sixth and seventh seal burst forth. So Brother Lee said, looking ahead, as he spoke in 1974, he said, I believe in the Lord's recovery, there will be a juncture where the situation will change. The world situation will change. and it will affect the quality of the prayer and the living of the saints in the Lord's recovery. And they will have a different kind of prayer that they will release. And it will qualitatively be the kind of prayer that can merit this incense and lend the opening of the seventh seal. Saints, the pandemic, I believe, intends to be that. Intends to revolutionize our life, our living, our view, and our touch with him, to where more and more it approximates what he has intended and what will enable him to return. So we're after this. And this allows us, as Brother Alex shared in the first session, to meld family units closer together than ever in the midst of the trial of the pandemic. For parents to be able to really sense the needs of their children and to have ways of quality interaction with them, where when they sit with their children realize, Dad's here. Dad's here with me. He cares. To where among the spouses, there's the thriving of the prototypic relationship that is the basis of the family, which is the basis of the church life, which is the basis of the Lord's recovery, which is necessary for the Lord's return. It comes back to the married couples. What about the adversity among the married couples? The anemia in the strength of their spiritual pursuit together. The pandemic, I believe, saints, is for this. Okay, so question number one indicates a kind of sequence. Or it says, how do we know when our shepherding drops off and our referral to a mental health professional begins? When do we know when we're dealing with a spiritually complicated situation where one does need just spiritual exercise, the application of the Lord's precious cleansing blood, the covering of the saints, the practical support of the saints, and they'll be fine, or when they need to see a mental health professional? Well, saints, I've already spoken more than I should have in this cycle. Forgive me, Alex, please. But we would like to strongly assert that pandemic or no pandemic, our trust is in the shepherding of the souls of the saints through our ministering of Christ to them, as we ourselves are supplied by him through our abiding in him and in his word. The needs of the saints and the shepherding of the souls of the saints. We're not having a yardstick trying to see if we need to make a mental health diagnosis. Is there depression here? Is the mood okay? Is there anxiety? Is there not? No. We approach the dear saints in our unbiased, unrestricted concern for them and minister Christ to them, as we said in the first session, whether they're comely and appreciated or whether they're prickly and not easy to approach. Our view is that we need to shepherd all of the saints and care for them. And in a sense, not worry and not look at the psychological difficulties, but trust in the supply of the Lord's life and what it can do to swallow up that darkness and swallow up the dispositional quirks and problems. And as we do this, and in our relationship with saints around us, those around us, placed around us in the church life. We do this with patience, with loving kindness, with forbearance, with endurance, not waiting to see if, oh, maybe I need to check this one or cross this one off my list of saints I'm concerned about in shepherding. With time, if the person's situation or psychological state makes it such that it's clear that they're unable to respond and to be lifted out of their situation through the enjoyment and partaking of the Lord himself, then it's time to begin to fellowship, first with the Lord. Oh, I'm so concerned for my brother or sister. I'm so concerned for them. How are they doing? What about this matter? And then eventually, perhaps, if with time the situation doesn't resolve, we seek the help of a mature saint or one of the leading ones in our locality to open carefully and in a very covered way, in a specific way, what is the best way for me to help at this kind of juncture where we can't seem to have a breakthrough. So if we were to illustrate in terms of steps, our trust in the supply of life and our shepherding by ministering Christ is a giant step. And our realization that there may be a need, if there's a psychological concern, to seek specialized and trained help is there in the background and becomes the shorter, smaller, yet completing step if that step is necessary. Likewise, in the second half of the question, if there's a dead situation, we realize there can be a lot of antecedents to that, a lot of complications to that, history to that, and we don't expect someone to call upon the name of the Lord and be just fine. But we stand with them in our prayers. We minister to them, and we do our best to remain connected to them and in their immediate sphere of relationships and pray for them and supply them. If, and we observe this sometimes in the full-time training, if, as is true in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex, the churches are glorious and the enjoyment level is high, and the person is suffering and doesn't seem to be able to enjoy as others are, yes, we consider carefully, first with the Lord, then perhaps with a mature saint or a leading brother, do we need to suggest a referral? Or you may have enough clarity. If you're able to do that directly, that's fine too. But anyway, our emphasis is that we don't shy away from this. And we acknowledge that there may often be a need for mental health consultation with a skilled professional. But we don't jump to that conclusion. And we take our giant step first of ministering Christ through our own enjoyment of him. Amen, Alex. Can you continue?
Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Rick. Praise the Lord, saints. Brother Rick greeted you for me, but I want to greet you also myself. Dear saints, it's so good to see so many familiar faces, so many familiar names, the churches in the Metroplex, and especially the churches in Irving and Dallas hold a very special place in my heart. So I want to just spend a little time to continue Brother Rick's fellowship, and to kind of shine a light on this question. When should we shepherd the saints to open to the Lord as their healer? And when should we recommend seeking professional help? How do we draw the distinction between death and needing a supply of life versus clinical depression or anxiety? Okay, when I consider this question, the asker would seem to imply that we have two opposed viewpoints here. Brother Rick mentioned that there sounds, in the question, that there sounds to be a sequence. And I would even consider two perspectives that are in opposition, in either or kind of situation. That there's a line between our experience of the Lord and our addressing of mental health issues in the soul. That mental health is specific difficulty in isolation from our spiritual functioning that perhaps is only applicable to a select percentage or number of saints. Dear saints, a quick answer would be we should always shepherd the saints to open to the Lord as their healer. We should always supply life to situations of death. There is never a situation in which that would not be the correct option. And so I open in saying that in response to these questions, we realize these are not opposing viewpoints. This is not some kind of line that we need to strive to find within the church life. Okay, all of us have, as believers in the Lord's recovery, we have shared spiritual experience. In the spiritual realm, for us who are blessed to be participating in God's economy, we realize that the Lord cares for the condition of our soul. If our mind is not functioning properly, we can't receive his word. If our emotion is not functioning properly, we can't enjoy the Lord. If our will isn't functioning properly, it may be difficult to turn to our spirit. And so, as we grow in life, we learn to experience him. We experience him as the overseer and shepherd of our souls. We experience him in Psalms 23 as the one who wants to restore our soul. In Matthew 11, we experience him as the one who gives our soul rest. Okay, this is a shared experience of our Lord as a shepherd, as the one who restores, as the one who brings rest to our soul. We also share the experience in the spiritual realm of having an enemy that is very strategic in how he frustrates God from fulfilling his purpose. And so as the Lord's return draws near, as his church is built, as his bride is prepared, as this process takes place in our soul, as we mentioned this morning, we shouldn't be too surprised that the enemy's main tactic would then be to attack the souls of the saints. And so again, a shared experience that we have to replace death, we need a divine life. To replace sickness, we need the all-inclusive Christ as our healer. To stand against the enemy, we need the victorious one. Saints, this is a shared spiritual experience as believers that we have. Okay, at the same time, we also, as man, function in the psychological realm. And we have shared human experiences in this way as well. Shared experiences of negative influences, perhaps on our development in our childhood, within home and family environments, shared experiences of adverse situations, of loss, of failure, of trauma, our encountering of stressful environments, including perhaps the pandemic we find ourselves in, So mental health issues, mental health difficulties. A psychologist's definition would be the well-being of our thoughts, our feelings, our behaviors. But really, this just reflects the healthy functioning of the three parts of our soul, the mind, the emotion, and the will. And so, at a psychological level, also shared experiences, we are all at risk for these kinds of difficulties in our soul, even becoming severe enough that they would reach the level of illness, they would reach the level of requiring treatment. Actually, it's estimated before the pandemic, one in every five adults, so 20%, experience mental illness at any given time. In our young adults, suicide continues to be the second leading cause of death after accidents. Most recent data would suggest that since the pandemic, we are now up to 40% of adults experiencing mental illness, most commonly anxiety and depression, and 25% being at risk for suicide. So again, shared experience in the psychological realm. So dear saints, if we consider the complexity of our being with three parts that interact with and impact each other, and we consider that we function primarily, we would hope, in the spiritual realm, but additionally in the psychological and physical realms as well, then we realize this topic is first of all applicable to all of us in our shared spiritual and human experiences, and that these perspectives are not necessarily opposing, mutually exclusive, that our primary focus on our spiritual experience and the need, our need to experience the Lord, does not, is certainly our priority, but does not necessarily negate the fact that we also function in the psychological realm, and that we need to also take care of our mental health, even for the sake of our spiritual functioning, pursuit of Christ, and participation in the church life. So I presented this verse this morning, but I bring it before you saints again. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, let us also, having so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us. So as believers, Hebrews charges us, we need, in cooperation with our Lord, to take care of any encumbrance, including perhaps mental health difficulties, so that, not just so we would be healthy functioning people, well-adjusted people living on this earth, but that we would be in a condition that would allow the Lord to gain our entire being. So at some point, just maybe to close on this question, I close with this point. As indicated by this question, there may be a need for professional help, and it may be difficult to decipher at what point that we would recommend that. And so practically, saints, for your help, I also present two principles that may be helpful in your consideration. Okay. Realizing this is not an expectation that any of us would be able to define this, would be able to assess this. This is the job of a trained professional, actually. So you don't need to be the one that makes the decision whether or not we need to seek professional help. Okay, but there are two principles I would present. Number one, how much distress? How much distress is the individual in? Okay. There are some things that are automatic. If someone is presenting concerns of suicide, if someone has presented a concern of abuse, these things, automatic damage to the soul, automatic levels of distress that would require professional help. Okay, but we also all experience levels of sadness, levels of anxiety. So we ask, how much distress are they in? Are we at the level where we are crying every day, that we are so anxious, our body is literally feeling anxious? Are we unable to have any form of positive thought, unable to have any form of peace in our being? So that would be an indicator that it may be time for professional help. The second principle, considering how much are they impaired functionally. Okay, if we are in a situation where we can't get out of bed, we can't complete our classes, we can't hold a job, we are unable to participate even in the church life or to meet with the saints, then we would also consider it may be time to seek professional help. So hopefully these two principles are of help in your consideration. But again, it's okay if you're not sure. Fellowship, saints, fellowship. There are many that may have experience if you don't feel equipped to respond. And there are even trained saints with medical backgrounds that may be accessible for fellowship regarding this matter. So I would close there.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So the next question is this. I've heard of saints that left the church life because others did not recognize their mental illness or viewed it as primarily a spiritual problem, for example, praying or reading the Bible more. How do we prevent losing our own for these reasons? And how do we reach ones like this who are thinking of leaving the church life or have left due to this? I believe for this question, we'll have Brother Alex lead us off.
Amen. Well, I would start, I guess, by saying that the loss of our own from the church life for any reason is oftentimes cause for significant distress. And so I start by emphasizing our triune God as the Father, Son, and Spirit searches until he finds his lost sheep, sweeps until he finds his lost coin, waits until his lost son returns. So first and foremost, we pray for these dear ones. And we believe that he is able to reach and to find those that we feel are impossible to reach. Okay, so this question asks specifically about mental illness being an underlying factor, which I can affirm in my experience with the saints, is not only a frequent contribution to the loss of our own from the church life, but even more so, oftentimes a hidden contribution underlying what is seen on the surface. And so there are two reasons for this that I bring before you. The ultimate solution to both of which is we need to shepherd, as Rick said, in cooperation with Christ as the shepherd of their souls. And perhaps the secondary step, we need to support the appropriate human care and possible addressing of these difficulties. So the first reason that I would present this, as Rick alluded to, that our unproductive attitudes and responses to those that present with these difficulties would stigmatize those with these concerns to the point where, unfortunately, these dear saints believe that the care that they need is not in the church and that they have no value as a member of the body. So stigma continues to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest contributor to lack of appropriate mental health treatment, not just in society, but even saints within the church life. Okay, so what do we mean by stigma? There are three components that I always bring up when it comes to stigma. First of all, fear. Oftentimes we have the experience, we are afraid to fellowship about this. Someone comes to us with a sensitive situation, and as a response, we draw away, we recoil, we withdraw. This, of course, produces a very common response of avoiding the subject or avoiding the person, thus leaving them feeling more isolated, more hopeless than before. Okay, secondly, misinformation. Many times, because we are not adequately informed, sometimes this produces a common reaction of providing what we are informed about, which is spiritual advice. So perhaps we don't know how to help, and so we present with them, well, it's because you're not reading your Bible enough. You're not praying enough. Your turning to the Lord is inadequate. Of course, this may cause them to feel misunderstood, further isolated, further withdrawn and hopeless. And finally, judgment. Our judgment, saints, is the biggest obstacle to the saints opening up their situations. I mean that in general, not just related to mental health difficulties. And unfortunately, it is a very common occurrence that someone tries to open up about these kinds of difficulties. And the response is that perhaps it isn't reasonable, it isn't real, it's not correct, or even that it would be a shame, a deficit, some kind of indicator of their usefulness to the Lord. So our attitude devalues their suffering, and in turn may cause them again to feel more worthless, more hopeless. So how do we prevent losing these ones or reach those that are lost? Well, Brother Rick alluded to this verse earlier, First Corinthians 12, and those members of the body which we consider to be less honorable, these we clothe with more abundant honor. And our uncomely members come to have more abundant comeliness, that there would be no division in the body, but that the members would have the same care for one another. So saints, when we encounter situations that may be sensitive, uncomfortable, even difficult, instead of a reaction that may stigmatize them or push them further into isolation or condemnation, we would exercise, firstly, to take all-inclusive tender care of the sheep, of the flock, and shepherd the souls of the saints in cooperation with Christ as the shepherd of our souls. We must realize our shortage. I speak to myself first. I must realize my shortage of my expression of the shepherd within, to realize myself, my opinion needs to be crossed out. To realize there is only one worthy to judge. There's only one worthy to judge. So to come to them, not as a judge, but as a shepherd. So additionally, we can remember, this is applicable to all of us. Okay, much as we all have physical sickness and even major illness that may come at any time, we have this in common. We can also have psychological sickness and even illness that could develop given the right circumstances. It's estimated that nearly 50% of adults will develop a mental illness at some point in their lifetime. So that's one in every two people. which means between you and someone you know, one of you may be currently suffering or have suffered in the past, or maybe will suffer, unbeknownst to the other person. Of course, practically, in situations when where professional help is needed, we also endeavor to educate, to encourage, even perhaps to support the adequate care of saints who present with these kinds of difficulties. Okay, so that's the first reason, our stigma. The second reason that I would present on the side of, not our side, but on the side of the individual, mental health difficulties also cause an impaired relationship between the individual and not only the saints, but also with the Lord. As brought out this morning, a significant source of mental illness are the attacks on our soul from the enemy that cause us to believe things about ourselves, our future, and the other members. No one could love us. No one cares for us. And so the way we react, perhaps in those situations, is to withdraw, to isolate, to push away, even to rebel. And so we realize the Lord is a person. That same pattern can present even with their relationship with the Lord. This belief, others don't love me, is only one step away from God doesn't love me. God doesn't care about me. And so, again, we withdraw, we push away, we rebel, even from our dear Lord. So, again, shepherding of the soul would be the way to reach them, because in this situation, it actually, in many cases, restores their relationship with the Lord and with the saints. I would maybe just end with this this testimony. Some saints, a couple that were in this kind of situation, and the sister wrote a testimony that perhaps I would just read to you. About 4 years ago, my life got turned upside down. I went through a traumatic experience in my personal life, then in my family life, then significant life changes, including a debilitating health issue. I thought I was coping okay and had everything under control and was staying positive enough, going to enough church meetings for things to stay okay. But as more time passed, I quickly became sicker, both physically and mentally. My mind just couldn't handle everything happening in my life. Everyone told me to stay positive and pray more, but there was something going on in my brain and in my mind that I just could not control. Fast forward, my marriage was crumbling. My guilt was at an all-time high. My self-worth at an all-time low. I had hit rock bottom with the Lord, and some days was even scared for my own physical safety. I felt like I was in a deep, dark hole, and I just couldn't find any way out. I decided to seek help and did intensive therapy and counseling every day, all day, for about 2.5 months. After completing that program, I continued weekly therapy. Everything my therapist suggested to me and the insights they gave me, I shared with the Lord, and I brought him in. I was surprised how much everything I was learning seemed to still fit in God's economy, and with how much peace I felt in adopting these new techniques to help me manage my anxiety and depression. I also found that in my case, there were physical symptoms, and although I was always against medication, I had peace to try because I was suffering so much, and it was a wonderful decision for me. My advice is, if you get to a point like I did, or even better, start before I did, where you don't feel right, you're lashing out, you're crying every night, you know you need help, say, Lord, I need help. I can feel that my mind is sick. I'm going to take the steps to get help, to take care of my being. If you're not in it, Amen. Stop my moving. But if you are with me in this, open every door. When our mind is healthy, our body is healthier, our spirit is healthier. Seeking help for my mental health saved me in many ways, my marriage, my spiritual life, and maybe even my physical life. Satan would love to see us overcome and destroyed by mental illness. The Lord wants us healthy and happy so we can be useful to him and live out our purpose to gain him, express him, and bring him back. Okay, saints, I read this testimony, but it's actually a very common experience that I encounter among the saints. Caring for our soul can restore our spiritual condition, pursuit of Christ, our participation in God's economy and in the church life. Okay, Rick, my turn to apologize for taking so much time.
No, it's wonderful we can just have this, we can just have it be open-ended. Praise the Lord. Well, saints, thank you, Alex, for this help. This second question embodies the concern and burden that Alex and I and some of the other brothers and sisters have when this matter is brought up. It points to the fact that we have bleeding, attrition, loss of dear ones because of mental health difficulties that are either misunderstood or not dealt with. The person is just kind of avoided and marginalized. Have you heard saints use the term, "My, that's a good brother"? Heard that expression used? Have you heard the expression used, "Well, that's a difficult brother"? Or maybe in private conversation, "He's not a good brother"? Have you heard that said? Saints, when there's a painful situation, when there's a difficult situation, when there's a confusing situation in the church life, we tend to operate within this stigmatization and arrive at an assessment as to the moral status, the heart status, the inner being status of that person. We don't like them. We don't understand why they do what they do. We draw a wide swath around them in terms of how close we get. And pretty soon, surely they say, "Why should I be here?" So to have this corrected, oh, the person who gave this question hit one of our main burdens. And so we thank them for this question. Oh, if we could be helped here to realize, no, there's not such a thing as a bad brother. There's not such a thing as a troublesome sister. As we said this morning, if we had a way to perceive and to realize and to know the whole story, it would be absolutely understandable why they say what they do, why they react the way that they do. We just simply don't understand. And most of the time it's because there's a psychological difficulty which needs this approach that we talked about in question one, where they receive our unconditional care. Unconditional care. And then eventually, if they're not able to respond and we see this matter of distress or lack of ability to just get on in their daily life and relationships, we may realize there's some help is needed. So this question is a pre-pandemic question. It was there before the pandemic. It's, you know, we don't get that close to one another. You know, Zoom, I guess, protects us from some of our interpersonal irritability because we don't rasp and rub as closely. but nothing has really changed. Maybe this, maybe we wouldn't have as much of a realization here, but the pandemic does aggravate eventually some of these psychological concerns. And so when we're restored to our church life, this will be a further question. But I'd like to apply the pandemic to this question in this way. The new and emergent blossom-like experience of Christ that is to be prompted by this pandemic in our personal and corporate experience is the answer to this reflex, involuntary judgmentalism into which we fall. Let me refer here to Numbers, which we recently studied, the book of Numbers, that is. If you had opportunity to go through the life study, you realize that a line in the book of Numbers, the heavy burden on Brother Lee's heart was, we look at the saints and we don't see them according to God's view. Mm-hmm. This failure was worthy of Moses in chapter 20 of Numbers, losing his ability to enter into the good land, as repeated numerous times in his own handwriting about himself as he wrote the Pentateuch. How painful it must have been when he realized, when he called them, "You rebels." That was it. He was done. Wow. He, as the leader of God's people, did not view them the way God did. Our brother says, we must view God's people according to his holy nature. He's loving. He's kind. He's forgiving. He understands. He's willing. Well, when we partake of God's feeling towards his people, we have remedied our tendency to quickly say, what's wrong with that brother? How come he always has to be a problem in the coordination? How come he can't go along? How come he always has a problem with someone? So, you know, that was the first one. That's Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 23. You remember the miraculous speaking of Balaam. I see hired, consigned to curse Israel, taken to the mountain above to see them. He says, oh, how lovely are the tents of Jacob.
Amen.
I see no iniquity in Israel. And Balak says, no, no, no. These were the divine words showing the divine feeling toward that people that was in the midst of idolatry, fornication, and every kind of failure, every kind of human failure. Strongly, God put there a reminder, we need to view God's people as he does. Then to show how he himself views his people, and maybe Moses learned a lesson here in chapter 33. You remember the chronologic account of the history as related in Numbers chapter 33, as he puts the stations, eventually the 42 stations, referred to in the genealogy of the Lord in Matthew chapter 1. And he mentions every one as a glorious step, and the entire trajectory of Israel from Egypt all the way to the border of Canaan, no problem. So we don't notice these things that much, but Brother Lee did. Brother Lee did, and he made a big point. In the Lord's recovery, we need to learn to see one another as God sees us, with a good heart, that there's no problem. There's no intended transgression, overstep, causing a friction. There's nothing. Saints, what a relief this is. Talk about a mental health blessing, this enables us to be at peace with every man, to never be offended, and to be able to forgive if we're on the brink of offense because we realize that person has a good heart. And either it's satanic motivation or satanic misrepresentation, but that person has a good heart and is blameless in the Lord's sight. And when we can see people that way, not only can we forgive the saint, but when someone is troubled, no fault of their own, they have this or that difficulty. We hurt when they hurt. We have compassion with them. We sense their suffering. And as a result, we are genuinely able to pray for them with longevity and endurance. We're genuinely able to care and to shepherd and to try to render practical help. And yes, we can help them if they need professional consultation. Well, the way I relate this to the pandemic is that, saints, it's when through our realization that this pandemic is for us to have a new stage, a new opening of our pursuit of Christ. Until little by little, those long stretches in our days, when we live in ourselves, for ourselves, with the Lord passively within our mingled spirit, but imprisoned there. And we catch ourselves. And we respond to the pandemic as an environmental reminder. And we're brought progressively, incrementally more into the living of Christ that he desires and that is our only fulfillment and satisfaction. So may we be relieved of this tendency to judge. May we see God's people as he sees them. And may we be freed of the stigma that's in society and among us to feel repelled by those who are suffering with these psychological difficulties. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. The next question is, what is the appropriate view towards safety during the COVID-19 pandemic? And at what point does the psychological and spiritual detriment of physical isolation outweigh the health risk of physical gatherings?
Mm-hmm.
Is it safe to gather in the homes in small groups? Sorry, Brother Rick, go ahead.
No, pardon me for jumping. Well, so saints, this is an active topic. This is before the leading brothers. This is before those who are heads of families and coordinators of vital groups. What do we do in the pandemic? We feel we need to see one another. It's not good just to be at home all the time and to have a virtual church life. Our young people are having difficulties, as we touched this morning. Furthermore, my married life seems to be suffering a little bit. Mom and I are home here all the time with one another. We need to get out and contact people. We're in a pandemic. And you realize already that in this question, I would try to take what I would consider to be a protective stance. Because if I don't take a protective stance, and that ends up causing suffering and serious illness to you, I would be heartbroken. The leading ones bear quite a responsibility here in terms of how they would lead the church in terms of its formal arrangements, setting an example then for the saints as they decide, family by family, group by group, what they would do. So it's interesting that we're talking about this now. At the time that Texas is outstripping most states in their unprecedented surge of cases and deaths due to the coronavirus. Yet at the same time in Texas, there are places that are saying, isn't this enough? We've suffered this long enough. Let's just take some liberty with the recommended precautions and begin to meet. Well, I was going to give you, I've got a daily update for you here. On the profile, it's not pretty. In the midsummer, when we thought we were surging, the maximum number of cases per day reported in the United States was about 73,000 to 75,000 new cases a day in the summer post 4th of July surge. 2 weeks ago, we hit the headlines. Now it's 100,000. 1 week later, it was 160,000, then 185,000. Now 2 weeks later, 200,000 new cases a day. And as we've gone from 10 million to 12 million cases in the United States, while it took months to get up to 10 million, took, say, since February, took those months to get to 10 million. To go from 10 to 11 took 6 days, and to go from 11 to 12 took 6 more days. In 12 days, 2 million new cases in the United States, with Texas among the states with the highest profile. But not alone. 49 out of the 50 states are surging right now. Deaths are also paralleling the number of cases. So I don't know whether to read you more statistics. I guess you get the idea that it wouldn't seem that now is the time to relax protective restrictions and to venture out into the community where the virus is more present and more easily contacted than ever before. Now, more than 50% of those who contract COVID-19 and test positive review all of their contacts in the previous period of time, and they have no idea how they could have gotten. They know no one who's positive. They know no one who may be positive. 50% of the cases. In contrast, early on, when most of the time when someone was tested positive, they did realize, oh, okay, that was where I got it. That's no longer true. So we're coming up to Thanksgiving holiday, as you know, and among you, many of you are going to have Thanksgiving gatherings with family. Just so you know, the stringency that the brothers may feel to recommend is based upon the fact that every major holiday has resulted in a huge surge. Now we have a huge surge going into the holiday. And the public health experts are predicting that that is going to augment the surge. The slope of the curve of the increase is totally different than it's been at any point up till now. And so the outlook is not good. So Yes, more than 250,000 deaths in the United States thus far, more than 250,000. Various matters here. So, on the brighter side is the fact that I believe it's yesterday, authorization was given to Pfizer that should be finished December 10th, followed closely by Moderna, another pharmaceutical firm, with emergency use of a vaccine that has met safety criteria and has high level of effectiveness in the general population, in the elderly, and in minority groups that are high risk. So we are hoping that soon this vaccine should be available, as soon as in some states, and Texas is one of them, possibly within several weeks. A vaccine may be available, at least to health professionals and maybe to others. Basically, a global study of the pandemic shows this. Where the pandemic rages is not related to genetic susceptibility of the population. It's not related to infectivity of the virus. It's related to the behavioral patterns and attitudes of the person. Two weeks ago, there was a conference in the Lord's Recovery in the Caribbean island of Antigua. Some of you know the saints from there. They have an annual conference. It was 2 weeks ago. In the conference in which I participated virtually, all the saints kept protective precautions during the conference, wearing, and they do so as they move in and out. They have done this since March. And on the entire island, which granted is smaller than the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex in population, but an entire island from then till now, 6 cases. No direct transmission reported in months. Yet the saints and the people in general continue to exercise precautions. So it's a non-factor. They go on with their life, no economic impact, nothing. But they realize they're in a pandemic, exercise precautions. Behaviorally, they control the pandemic as it relates to them. Now, granted, it's an island. There's some isolation there. But the decisions that we make related to this, especially in the church life, go far beyond us because we're so related to one another. So yes, my recommendation continues to be seek the fellowship of the leading brothers, who I think will try to interpret the new findings and new results. And open things up as soon as they can. And the virus, the vaccine availability will probably aid that greatly. We hope that soon, you know, it's probably not too much to say because the letter's gone out to the churches. The full-time training is hoping that by the end of next term, the trainees could come back to the training center. Remains to be seen, but anyway, we may be coming to the end. Can we have the endurance? Well, before I let Alex finish up this point, I had a number of things here, number of observations, which I find striking myself. But maybe time doesn't allow me to mention, to indicate that this pandemic, as I mentioned earlier, is for us to have a new continuation a new stage. What would it take to intensify us? Would or could the pandemic not? Well, maybe the sixth and seventh seal will. Do we want to experience Luke 21:36? Watch and pray always, beseeching that you may prevail to escape the things which are to come and to stand before the Son of Man. This refers to a specific group of people, which we have every reason to think would be a subset of those in the Lord's recovery, who it says here would watch at every time and would beseech, not pray routinely, but have a new kind of sense about things, thereby prevailing to escape. In his commentary on the significance of the word prevail there in Luke 21:36, he indicates that the Greek word indicates attaining a new strength from a supplementary source, enabling one to, in that strength, be able to prevail. So saints, if not us, who? If not now, when? If not benefited by the pandemic, what would it take? Saints, we need to live Christ, pursue him more than ever, and touch him breath by breath, and take him with us in everything, person, and matter that we touch. So his person is ours as we meet him at the interface of our mingled spirit, at every new juncture, every routine juncture in our daily living. That is what the pandemic is for, I believe. Alex?
Amen, Brother Rick. Well, maybe for the sake of time, I would just make a quick point. I just, in my being, am full of agreement with Brother Rick's sharing. And I would add a small commentary. Saints, there's a need in this time for our minds to be renewed.
Amen.
For our minds to be renewed. Okay, the enemy, very much as the deceiver, has a certain strategy that I might point out here. Okay, from the very beginning, in the garden with Adam and Eve, how did he deceive Eve into eating the fruit that was forbidden by God? Okay, in verse 1, he basically says, did God really say that? Did God really say that? And Eve explains to the serpent what God said. And then as we see in verse 4, the serpent essentially says, well, surely that won't happen. Surely that's not true. Okay, can you see the way he deceives? It's very subtle, but if you listen very closely, he uses the same strategy over and over again. He says, did God say that? And you respond. And he comes back and says, surely that's not true. Surely that's not true. Okay. Did God really say that all things work together for good? Did God really say that? And we say, yes, it's right here in Romans 8. I can show it to you. And the enemy says, surely that's not true. Surely that's not true. Look at your situation. Look at the pandemic you're in. It's hopeless. I don't think things are going to work out for you. And then what happens? When our mind is not sufficiently renewed, we believe him. We believe him. Did God really say his grace is sufficient for you? Did God say that? We say, yes, it's right here in 2 Corinthians. I can show you. And he says, surely that's not true. I don't think there's any grace for you. Look at this hopeless situation you're in. You're in a pandemic. There's no hope. and our mind not sufficiently renewed, we believe him. We believe him. So dear saints, I just, maybe to make this point quick, to take care of time, there's a need. There's a need to continually keep our mind renewed. That these verses would not just be words. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Saints, perhaps a practical strategy that I might provide. We use this in the field of psychology, but there's a spiritual application here. Okay. It can be helpful to focus not on the things that we cannot control. Okay. There are many things that we can't control. Big things. When will the pandemic end? What's going to happen with the election? Little things. How this person will respond to me. So many things that we can't control. And it's not valuable. It's not helpful to focus on that. So we shift. We focus on the things that we can control. And herein lies a spiritual application we can control. First of all, many practical things, even simple things. What is our schedule going to be tomorrow? How am I going to spend my time? Am I perhaps going to, as Rick has mentioned, use this pandemic as an opportunity to allow the Lord to gain what he's after? We can control how we allocate our time to pursue him in this restricted situation. We can control how we use this time to renew our family, our marriage, our household, our relationship with our children. Okay, so dear saints, as our mind stays renewed, as we pray over his word, and as we experience him as the author and perfecter of our faith in response to his word, it behooves us to maintain our focus on the things that we can control and to realize that the things that we can't, there is someone on the throne who does. There is someone on the throne who has everything under his sovereignty. So maybe for the sake of time, I would just make that quick point.
Amen.
Amen. So the next question is, the political environment has been very taxing on my mental health. I love the meetings because they are a refuge from that. However, lately, politics has crept into the meetings. How do we stay away from political or divisive issues in the current environment? I think we'll have Brother Alex.
Amen. Well, maybe I could start this fellowship, and then Brother Rick, I sure would appreciate your portion to follow.
Thank you.
But this is certainly a very relevant question to our current situation, our current environment. And maybe I could begin to respond in this way. This question, the way it's worded, indicates a relationship between politics, the political environment, with our mental health and the functioning of our soul. So that's a relationship that perhaps I would like to elaborate on, if I can take some time to take just one step backwards and present a bigger picture as a context here. As mentioned this morning, the enemy, in opposition to the Lord, attacks the souls of the saints, and these attacks start in the mind. right? Second Corinthians tells us the enemy uses the mind as a stronghold. How does he attack? He lies to us, the one that deceives the whole inhabited earth. And so this morning we spent some time delving into the two biggest lies, the two psychological attacks on our young people, the attacks on their identity, so that they would believe that they're worthless, and the matter of isolation, so they would believe they are alone. Well, there are also two significant lies and psychological attacks on adults. Again, based on my experience, but also based on psychological theory and research, and perhaps echoed in your experience. First, this matter of isolation, of loneliness, extends from our young people to our college students to our young adults. Okay, there is a reason why at the young adult ages there is such a focus on our need for companionship, even for marriage. In fact, some saints would develop feelings of worthlessness based on whether or not they are married, whether or not they are in successful relationships or companionships. And of course, in our current pandemic, the toll of the forced isolation would then contribute to increasing rates of these kinds of deception from the enemy and these kinds of expressions in individuals. Okay, the second most significant lie and psychological struggle that I see are adults, and I would say young to middle-aged adults facing, the enemy would have us believe that our worth is tied to our accomplishment. This is unique to the adult stage of development. Our worth would be tied to our success in our education, our careers, maybe for some, the success of our marriage, our family. For those on the campuses, that serve on the campuses, the success of our campus work, the success of the gospel. In the current pandemic, the practical difficulties caused certainly then would also contribute to an increase in this difficulty as work is disrupted, as family lives are pressured. Even I know many full-timers struggling because their output, their accomplishment, their productivity has now been reduced. Well, saints, I bring these two matters up. You may be wondering, okay, how does this relate? Well, I circle back. Saints, these two matters and all the contributions to these matters that we are faced with, these contributions are not the only things that cause isolation and feelings of worthlessness tied to our success. What about division? Okay, do we consider the isolating effect that our opinions might have on other members? Do we consider that our opinion would cause division among the body? Right? What about the self? Do we feel that our opinion has some level of worth, that we would need to make a public statement, perhaps on social media? Do we feel a sense of accomplishment or winning some kind of argument, presenting some kind of well-researched opinion? Okay, dear saints, and I realize our time draws short, so I'll quicken. There's a principle here. When our focus is apart from the body, when our focus is on the enemy of the body, the self and division, we not only go against what the Lord is trying to accomplish, but even on a psychological level, we cause mental health issues to arise among us and among the saints around us. Politics, specific topic, and our opinions regarding politics, by definition, inherently an enemy of the body. Actually, I quote Brother Lee here in the ministry. He says, once the church gets involved in politics, the church loses its nature as the body of Christ and becomes no church. So, dear saints, this would indicate, at least to me, there's no place for this in the meetings, no place for this in the church life. Actually, and perhaps Rick can expound on this, our realization regarding politics, I feel, is quite simple. While God delegates some authority to man in his governmental arrangement, which we acknowledge, we submit to as believers, as the Lord of lords and King of kings, our God is the one unique authority in the universe. And we do not care for the world of politics that is part of the world system because, as believers, we care solely for God's interests and kingdom, which are not part of this world. All other opinions, expression of the self, causes of division, viewpoints that would disrupt the building of the body, no place. No place in the meetings, no place in the church life. And I would say that again to myself, first and foremost. Alex, no place. Our opinion, ourself, any division we would cause. When our view, when our focus is on the body, this would inherently be crossed out. When our focus instead lies on things that would be against the body, the experiences come out that this question asker asked. That even in our refuge in the church life, we would no longer feel safe. In our place, our home, our place of peace and rest, we would no longer feel at peace. We would no longer feel at rest. This is what creeps in. And this question, I feel, reflects that kind of principle. Brother Rick, please adjust or...
Oh, no. Thank you, Alex. Very, very good. Well, this question does... Yes, Alex, this question does resound in all of us because we realize that... I believe we realize that politics is not our interest, our sphere of involvement. We seek to live a peaceful life, honoring the authorities that are placed, considering that they're placed by God. We respect them, and we don't enter into what ifs and competitions and strong statements. Part of the emergence of this now, and isn't it something of the enemy that the pandemic and the election cycle and the political ugliness and the various law enforcement and disorder issues all came superimposed as if to try to stimulate and elicit a response from us, drawing us into these things. It may be that the younger we are as adults, the more we were influenced by the ever more perverse and malignant molding of academics and higher education in our culture and worldwide, and causing us to have impassioned feelings regarding certain issues that may cause us to lose our spiritual bearings and enter into these kinds of discussions and concerns. I believe apart from the molding of the educational system, poising some of us to have strong feelings in these areas, which we need to unload, in which we spontaneously unload as we involve ourselves with the Lord's lovely person. Much of the reaction, perhaps, that is there is because of the downward cascade of the morality in this country, of lawlessness in this country, and in our desire to preserve man, preserve humanity, preserve the family, and preserve order. Yes, for the church life and for the Lord's interests, we find ourselves getting involved in politics when we see that politics are involved in the decision-making that results in policies and directions that affect the moral fiber and the law and order situation in our country. But I would like to suggest, as Alex has, that we look away. That we look away from these things. 2 Thessalonians chapter 7 says that the mystery of lawlessness is operating. And we can expect the downward cascade that we've been watching to continue onto the revelation of the evil one at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Society is going to move in this direction, and the Lord will bring his hand off to allow certain things to happen that will complicate the world situation, the political situation, and our own situation. But we need to realize that the contribution that we can render is not to get into debates or bring politics into the church life and express our views, but is, as we have mentioned, to make our specialty, our endeavor, our sole commitment to pursue the relationship with him that would allow us individually and corporately to no longer be tied to the earth, but to in rapture rise to the throne as the first fruits, signaling his secret coming and triggering the casting of Satan from the heavens to the earth and the beginning of the events of the Great Tribulation, in which the present trends will be fully released. Right now, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:6, there's something that restrains that. What do you think restrains the tide and the push in this direction of decline of morality and loss of moral fiber in our country? Is it the debaters? Is it reformers? Is it policymakers? No. What restrains is the salt of the earth, the believers on the earth. And among the believers on the earth, many have lost their taste, have lost their saltiness. So it's the Lord's recovery that probably is, in 2 Thessalonians 2:6, that which restrains. If we want to hold back the downward tumble of the morality and the law and order that we'd like to see reversed, the way for us to do it is not to strongly voice and express political thoughts, preferences, or initiate involvements, but to pursue him and our relationship with him more than ever. That is the salt that right now restrains, that holds back the evil, that holds back the mystery of lawlessness. That's where our contribution is seen.
Amen. Maybe the last question that we have time for, Brother Rick. What should a married couple do if they feel like their marriage is beginning to fall apart due to mental health issues? Should they seek out fellowship from the leading brothers who may or may not have any training or experience dealing with marriage problems?
Am I right, dear brothers? I think we have 8 minutes, and so I will do my very best to not take more than 4. This question would be sufficient for another meeting, sufficient for a weekend. But yes, seek the help of the leading brothers. Seek their covering. Seek their care. and expect their shepherding, but expect them not to align with one party or the other when there's a marital turbulence, which may or which purportedly may involve a mental health difficulty or may not. Yes, fellowship, seek help. How many troubled marriages have become more complicated or have been lost to us because of isolation, because of self-condemnation, because of shame, and because they didn't seek help? Yes, yes, seek fellowship from the leading ones who will do their best to come alongside and will help if, and hopefully will realize that there is a role, there may be a role for professional help. Now, in our pursuit of the Lord, let's see if I got one more minute. In our pursuit of the Lord, in our realization of the Lord's sovereignty in yoking us, putting us together with our spouse, do you think he did not know about whatever the concern is? Do you think he did not consider that in his perfect arrangement of your married life? We need to help married couples to realize their marriage was formed in the heavenlies before the foundation. And it may just be that a spouse who maybe isn't afflicted, the Lord paired with someone who is, to be able to care for them, to cover them, supply them. And hopefully the one who isn't struggling with a mental health issue would be compassionate and able to reach out and supply that one. This kind of loyalty and commitment is spoken of even in the conventional, traditional marriage vows. So yes, we do everything we can, whoever is plagued by mental health difficulty, to seek the help spiritually of the mature and leading ones, to seek professional help if needed, and not to abandon the marriage or to abandon the situation, but to look to the Lord as the one who can do beyond what we can ask or think. And many times in spouses, they're living the married life in the natural life, causes disappointments, offenses that may go unforgiven, resentments, words are spoken that are unintended but cannot be drawn back, actions take place that should never have happened, and pretty soon one of them says, looks like my wife has a psychological problem. The wife of that husband says, you know, my husband has a psychological problem. And they both diagnose mutually their spouse as having a psychological problem. Well, if there is, may they have the Lord's grace to cover, care for their spouse, and to seek the help. But in the pandemic, we're at a crossroads where, I'm sorry, Alex, we're at a crossroads where, even more than ever now, this superimposed stressor will either bring additional stress upon a marriage or will cause a husband and wife to come together, to find a new common ground, have a new beginning, and bring the Lord in newly and freshly to be the vibrant life force of their relationship as they pursue him together as co-heirs of the grace of life. Well, I wish we had more time, Alex.
Man. Well, I would just maybe close in these last few minutes. I would echo Brother Rick's fellowship and then perhaps provide a couple practical points. The question is often asked, what about marriage counseling? What about therapy, for marriage, for couples? Well, dear saints, as Rick has mentioned, first and foremost, we need Christ to be expressed in our marriage. And as a parallel to the earlier questions, wherein we have this sequence regarding maybe an individual's mental health difficulties, the first giant step would be the Lord as our healer and the supply of life. And then perhaps a secondary step, if necessary, for the purpose of being able to receive the Lord and for the going on of our spiritual experience, we perhaps need professional help. So in the same parallel, when that question is asked, first and foremost, we need Christ expressed in our marriage as the solution, as the all-inclusive supply. And even in this pandemic environment, perhaps the Lord sovereignly arranging so that this experience could be advanced, intensified. And as a secondary additional consideration, if it would help to resolve certain problems that would allow for Christ to come in, then that additional step may be helpful. And so I would just, in my last minute here, present the three most common reasons in response to this question why marriages might express difficulties due to mental health concerns in either one or both. Number one, that the past experiences of the spouse impact how they respond or react to their husband or wife in a way that perhaps they don't recognize. Over time, these dynamics become patterns, and we don't have sufficient insight to recognize what has developed. So that would be number one. Number two, our focus on ourselves, our problems, causes us to fail to meet a basic condition of a positive marriage, which is mutuality, the meeting of each other's need. And number three, that our mental health issues would cause difficulties with our ability to regulate our emotions, which can have, of course, detrimental effects on our spouse in the marriage, especially as they begin to feel unsafe. So if the asker of this question finds themselves in one of these three situations, or for any marriage that might identify, these would be common reasons why marriage counseling may be helpful to address these difficulties, again, so that the Lord could keep our marriage and be expressed within the household. Maybe there's one more time. I'm going to make this one last quick point. Sometimes we have the concept that fellowshipping is finding a solution for our problem. Okay, and this question asker words this in a way that perhaps we shouldn't fellowship if we would not be able to get the solution to this problem, or if they wouldn't be adequately equipped to provide a solution. Well, saints, I give this picture of the human body. We have a circulation system. If one part of our body is sick or hurt and it doesn't receive circulation, perhaps because of some kind of blockage, that part of the body will die. But when there is the adequate circulation, the connection between that body part and the brain is restored, and healing is brought not only to that part, but in turn allowed to be more effective to the rest of the body. So, saints, this picture, we need to have a clear view. We are members of one body. If there is not adequate fellowship, we are impacted. The other members are impacted. To fellowship is to stay or seek the Lord's presence and to receive supply from the body, which in turn supplies the other members. So it's not that we fellowship to find per se a solution to our problem, although certainly we oftentimes receive practical help. But saints, fellowship itself is the solution and necessary for the health of the body of which we are all members. So I realize I'm a couple of minutes over time. I would close there.
Well, maybe to close, because we are over time, thank you, dear brothers, for coming and spending some time with us. We realize, saints, that we didn't address all the questions that were posted. Again, I just want to reiterate, don't bear this on your own. Fellowship, just to underscore the last point mentioned, fellowship with the leading ones, fellowship with the more mature saints, fellowship. Fellowship can take care of so many matters, even a discernment when practical and professional need is help is necessary. We'll end here. Again, we will subsequently announce how and in what form these recordings may be made available to the saints. Thank you, saints, for participating. Again, Brother Rick and Brother Alex, and to all the saints, have a good night. We'll stay enjoying the Lord and receiving the supply. Amen.
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 Thank you so much.
Thank you, brothers.
Amen. Thank you all.